I'll try to do the indication. Thank you, Lord. And thank all the people who sit up here and try to do the best they can. And we appreciate all the good weather for a change. You can keep the ice and snow. And everybody that comes to Cary Beach finds it's a wonderful place, and we hope to keep continuing to come. Amen.
Amen.
You know, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We don't have any awards tonight. Approval of the consent agenda items. Does anybody have any changes or anything you want to add? Can I have a motion?
Make a motion we approve as accepted. Craig, are you going in number 6? Or should that be taken out?
No, I am going to
the
local
one.
I'm not going to the Washington.
Okay, I'm sorry. Then right. I make a motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Adoption of the agenda. According to David, there's one change, and we're going to have a closed session with the police chief for personnel matters.
Make a motion that we add to the agenda a closed session at the end with the police chief for personnel
matters. Second. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. Tiffany, are you here? There you are. This is Tiffany Leslie. She's a Special Olympics coordinator for the Polar Plunge.
All right. Where was
it? Right there or right there? Mm-hmm. You're fine. We're pretty easy going, yeah. We're pretty easy going.
All right. Well, I just came in. I'm glad I wasn't like 1 minute later.
We've got a bunch that wants to get out of here real quick.
Exactly. I don't blame you on that. Okay. So our Polar Plunge is this Saturday, and it's our 10th annual and our second annual 5K, and I hope all of you and you can come out to it. So we're hoping for a really great event, and we're hoping for good weather this year. We have everything starting off at 11 o'clock a.m. We'll have music, we'll have food, we'll have auction, we'll have costume contest. At 2 o'clock is the 5K, and then 3 o'clock is the plunge. And we also can have a push plunge, so if you guys have your dogs. So if you guys should come out, though, even if you don't want to plunge and get, you know, crazy with us, well, hopefully you guys will at least come out, because we have a great auction, and we have some awesome prizes. We have a pool table. Anybody? Beach cruiser that you can bid on. So hopefully, you know, we'll have a whole bunch of people out there and have good weather.
What time did you ask the councils to be there?
About 1 o'clock.
Okay.
1:30, around that time frame. It's going to get a little crazy at 2, which is a 5K, so I wanted to have introduce everybody before that.
All right.
Is there anybody want to come in? Definitely. Maybe put your table in.
I don't think I'm
going to
go in the water.
No, okay. Well, I have some brochures.
Thank you.
Steve, you can jump in as well.
See, so I have a little bit more information and just look it over.
What is the water?
47.
It's like 45 to 50.
Oh,
yeah, 47 you probably is more accurate.
47 Sunday.
You can about walk on top of it, yeah.
No, it's not that bad.
It's close to kind of a long, long time.
He'll be worse.
Yeah.
We could be like cutting a hole in the
back. I hope never, never there.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Gail? Batter up. This is Gail McCloskey. She is the Pleasure Island Chamber of Commerce President.
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are y'all?
Well, I'm coming for you again. I think this is probably about the seventh year, maybe more, but about our free concert down at Fort Fisher. This year is actually our 12th year for doing free concerts, and we truly appreciate all y'all's help over the years. And so this year, I'm asking for $8,800. I know that's a little bit more than last year, $800 more. It costs us even more than that because we do advertise on TV for this event. We do 2 a month in June, July, and August. And so that's my request, and hopefully y'all will up at $1,800.
Gail, do you have any corporate or business sponsors that help with the publicity?
So when we first started this event, that was all done by sponsors and by the chamber. And then once we partnered with the town of Curry Beach, we started asking for the ROT funds to pay for this event. And so it's just y'all, and we actually put it on for y'all, and it's basically what it is.
Okay. Which we really appreciate.
It's well attended. Have you selected the bands yet?
We do have the bands. They're all waiting just to hear the good news. But we do have them all ready to go as long as we get the funding.
And when's the first concert?
The first one will be June 13th. They're the second and fourth Friday in each month. And also June 27th, July 11th, July 25th, August 8th, and August 22nd. And of course, the base, they serve hot dogs and beer and wine, and people can bring their own picnics now, where in the past, for a few years there, they wouldn't let them do that at all. And over the last 2 or 3 years, I think they gave up trying to police it. And so people can bring their own picnics. And I think with that and, some advertising, it's really growing. It's going to really be a really good event.
Have they started tearing down the houses down there yet?
Not yet, but I understand that's supposed to be coming pretty soon.
Yeah, so they'll keep the road clear for the concert. Okay.
Do we have to, Arlen, is that a...
It's a budget item.
Is it for the next budget, or we have something from last year to start it off, or...
That would be for the next budget.
Well, I mean, it starts before the next budget does it, right? So that's what I was asking.
Right. But I think in the past, I believe it did also, and we were kind of funded...
Yeah. Okay. And then you have a form that they fill out.
Right.
Have you filled it out? So you already
no,
have
it? It's not actually out on the website. It's part of the budget calendar and
Okay.
Nancy told me that would be probably be ready early March, I think.
Yeah, they're going to be approving the calendar tonight. That thing's on there.
And as soon as I bet. And while I'm here, even y'all haven't approved me yet, but is there anyone on council that would like to be a judge at our child cook-off on April 12th?
How about our new council member?
Yeah, they're here.
What? I didn't hear the question totally.
You want to judge a chowder cook-off?
Mr. and Mrs. New Council. Yeah, with your
April 12th.
Wife. You got to take Chowder and say this is the
Ruth, is he available April 12th?
I don't have my calendar with me, but I mean...
Oh, you should have it. I don't know.
It's a lot of fun. You just don't know.
It is.
Chowder,
it's a lot
tasting.
Of fun.
It's a blind... You would be doing a blind tasting.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. So blind tasting. Last time I did that, it was at a fraternity, and it was in the 70s. And it didn't work out as well.
He'll be fine.
I'll check the calendar, and I'll get back to you, Mike. Yeah, I just don't know what's up on the 12th.
You get free food, Ruth. You get free beer. You get anything you want.
That's a hard sell.
The free beer's not for me. That would be
for
you. Yes, the cleanse of power between. Thank you, Miss Gail. Discussion and considerations of persons to address council. Do we have anybody who wants to address council? Since Nancy hid the podium, I don't guess we do. Discussion and consideration of committee business. Board of Adjustment. Community Center Committee, Marketing Committee, Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. Miss Withrow called me tonight, and they have a new trip plan, so we'll be hearing about that, at the next meeting. Planning and Zoning Commission.
Again, Craig Galbraith, chairman of the Pure Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. Last month, you know, we had a little bit larger crowd. I brought the K Avenue Overlay District to the council and presented that. What we did, of course, is take it back based upon your recommendation and added a an additional statement that it only applies basically the residential or this particular area, and that there had to be a residential component to it. That was one of the concerns. As I mentioned last time also, we did some research to see what the impact of an overlay district, a mixed-use overlay district, would have upon a community in terms of property values, and the studies that were out there showed that it actually enhances property values if you have neighborhood type of commercial activities, which is of course what we're talking about in this particular location. And I believe that the council tabled that because John was not available for the discussion. And so we're back here before the council with that that particular proposal vision.
Did you have, anybody have anything to say?
I was available and participated in every meeting, and I believe these ordinances meet the intent of what our land use plan was going for in 2006, and so they have my support.
You don't have any issues enforcing the residential component as they wrote it? That'd be clear cut, right? We're not getting any fights, right? Okay. That's all I was asking, is that it was easy for you to administer so we don't get any problems with people. Okay.
Anybody else? No. Did all the meetings? I support it. Okay.
So do we have to do a public hearing before we can approve it, Andy?
You've already done that.
Yeah. I know, but it's changed now. That's what I'm asking.
It wasn't that much of a change.
Okay. I'm just making sure. Okay.
All in favor?
What's the one? You got to make the motion? Mm.
He's already made the motion one
he
time.
He can't make a motion.
revised purpose, new ordinance, section 19-84 K Avenue, mixed use overlay.
I'll second.
Yeah. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Second item, I believe before you is the recommendation we have regarding language to the lighting component of the ordinance. Again, we were asked to go back when we presented this, I believe, 2 months ago to look at some characteristics of this. In particular, there was concern that it might affect you know, people within residential areas that would have some sort of house lighting or a party, for example, in the backyard. Two other things that people want us to look at, I believe, were concerns about security lighting and these sort of things, as well as try to identify how many businesses would be affected by this. So we, again, we've looked at all three of those things. We've added language, I think, to this to accommodate all of them, first identifying that it does not apply to residential components. We also specifically exclude security type of lighting now within the language. And when we actually drove around, and we postponed this 1 month because we were still in the holiday season, so we were, you know, we didn't want to confuse holiday lights with actually the regular lights. When we did drive around prior to this last meeting, it really wouldn't affect any of the businesses that we saw. However, three of the businesses, or maybe four of the businesses, were closed, so they had the lights off, so we really couldn't tell. But what we did include is language that would, if anybody maybe had a kind of a, you know, let's say within a restaurant where they wanted to have, say, lights, maybe open exposed lights as part of their kind of patio, let's say, then rather than try to write pages and pages of language that tries to specifically identify this, the recommendation is that we simply say that if somebody has a lighting plan that they want to bring before the commission and the council, they could go ahead and do it. Obviously, we don't want this to discourage any business activities in the area, but we want to make sure that we have language so we don't have a situation like what you see on Carolina Beach Road now, where essentially people are making billboards out of their whole thing. So again, trying to take a proactive approach here. I think we've identified it in terms of trying to deal with the issues. I did, because the language is basically almost word for word out of Wrightsville Beach, they have the same concerns. I did call Wrightsville Beach to see if they have any, the chairman of the planning commission there, to see if they've ever had any problems with, again, restaurants that may want to have patio type of lighting. They've had no problems with that. They, in fact, had, you know, they just haven't had any problems. She was surprised when I talked to her. So Again, this was brought before the commission. This also had gone to a public hearing. We did have a few changes on this, again, as I just identified, but some fairly minor changes.
John, do you have any problem with this?
Not as it was addressed in the past meeting.
So the plant lighting program, your concept is it comes to the building inspector and then comes to council if they want to do something deviated?
If somebody, let's say, wants to have, say, a little band of neon lighting on the roof, you know, something like that, that would be nice or artistic. We don't want to prohibit that,
right. Obviously.
So by putting that in, you know, that they could come in and just show it to us, we could approve it, you know, the building inspector could approve it, we could approve it, and then that becomes part of the, you know, basically their property.
And so if any existing stuff is turned on after, since we didn't see, right, and it violates this, my assumption is you're going to tell them, look, there's a plan you can bring to council if you want to try to get it approved, right?
That was the intent, yes.
I'm asking the enforcement officer.
No, I guess I'm kind of lost now. I thought we were making that part apply to the overlay district.
No, this is...
It's throughout town.
I disagree with this plan completely. That's not the understanding that I had when I came away from the planning and voting meeting.
Okay. Do you guys want to go back and get together?
We'll get back together. I think we made it pretty clear that there's two elements here.
Right.
Okay, and so there's two elements. One is that there's language within the overlay district that has this. And the reason we put language, similar type of language in the overlay district, is we want to be very strict because we want to protect the property owners that are next to that. In addition, we have language which would apply to all the commercial districts.
To all the districts, not the commercial districts, the way it's written. This applies throughout town. You said you sort of exempted residential areas.
There should have been language in there that we had talked about and approved that should have...
It says residential zone, so I guess that maybe is what you're talking about. Does not apply to residential zone.
Right, exactly. So we're trying to, based upon, again, your recommendation.
So does that make you feel better, John? It's not residential zones now?
The biggest thing that I had heartburn about was the fact that if you had something that you wanted to light up, you had to come before the Planning and Zoning Commission to get it approved.
You'll have to approve all these for weddings and everything, then, John? You know, we're going to have 10 lights and everything.
Plan as far as permanent lighting.
Yeah. What we're talking about there is there's really two options when you do this. You know, again, people may have, say, artistic lighting, let's say, lighting around a patio for a restaurant, and there are a couple of the restaurants that do have this. You know, one of the gas stations that have an exposed neon bar right there. We don't want to prohibit that sort of thing, but rather than try to write, again, we could probably write 15 pages of language trying to identify exactly the sort of thing that would be allowed or not allowed. You know, again, I've been a planning commissioner for different communities for 20, 25 years, and the way you deal with that, I've never, never seen a problem with this, is when you have those sort of maybe exceptions, people can simply come to the planning commission, simply say, this is what I have, and we simply say, all right, that becomes part of the plan. Lighting component, and it's approved, and that's how you deal with it. Again, Rachel Beach has had no problem with this. They've had this language now for about a year, and they haven't had any problems with this particular. I mean, this language is basically the same language that's in Rachel Beach because they're concerned about exactly the same sort of thing.
So how do you come to the Planning Commission?
My issue with that is somebody can come to the Planning and Zoning Commission with a plan for their lighting that they think is perfectly fine, that looks great, and P&Z has no guidelines whatsoever to base that their yes or no,
right,
as far as allowing their lighting plan to proceed.
Right.
And I expressed my concerns about that in the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, and that there should be some sort of guidelines or restrictions for them to go by to approve or disapprove of any lighting plan.
Yeah, so the plan lighting program, explain to me, maybe I'm misconstrued. How does the Planning and Zoning Commission approve a lighting plan anyway? It'd have to come to council,
again,
right?
We have exactly the same language in the sign ordinance, I believe, too, where if somebody has something that they want to have for their particular business that's approved, that would be not an exception, because we do allow it, so it's technically not an exception, but if they have something that's not specifically allowed, whether it's a sign, and again, we have the word artistic, you know, so we have an open exposed neon, which may be an artistic type of thing for a sign. We have exactly the same language in our sign ordinance as what we're recommending right here.
Yeah,
somebody can come and they simply say, this is what we want to have approved. we would look at and say, that's fine, we approve it, and then it becomes approved for that particular property.
Yeah, so maybe I misunderstand. Me and Charlie Allen got in the same debate long ago. I don't think you have permission to do that approval. It has to come to the council.
Right, no, sequence. Yeah, no,
certainly. Yeah, okay. So, you were saying you approve it. No, you're not approving it. You may recommend it, but the council either approves it or doesn't approve it if it's not written in the order.
That was a misstatement.
Okay, thanks. And the building inspector, his issue is, and I agree with him, he wants clear guidance out there so people know what they can and can't do, not it coming to... Because even if you say yes, the council could still say no. So it's not that clear.
And I would disagree with the building inspector. The building inspector actually has very clear guidance, you know, in this respect. If it doesn't satisfy the requirements, which says no, it must come to P&Z and then to the council.
Okay.
I mean, there's clear guidance from the building inspector on that. There's no discretion on the part of the building inspector. If it doesn't satisfy what's allowable right there, they bring it to the P&Z, we make a recommendation to the council. The council either approves it or doesn't approve it. And again, this is how this sort of thing is done from my experience.
Okay.
The vast majority.
I just want to make sure.
Is it as simple as this does not impact the residential areas?
No, this
if
is
you
not,
want to,
no, we have excluded right. residential from this.
So if you have a business and you want to have a plan for your external lights, external lighting plans should go through planning and zoning and then to council. I mean, does it have to be
the only component of external lighting? I mean, right now we have regulations regarding external lighting. If it satisfies that and it doesn't violate any of the recommended language, it doesn't have to go to the council. Okay. It's
right.
only if it violates, you know, if they want to put a strand of exposed neon, let's say along the roof line, or let's say a restaurant wants to put a couple exposed lights in terms of the patio, technically that would violate this language, but we leave an out. And again, I think it's very clear about what the inspector has to do. They have to say, you know, I mean, that violates it. Now, you can get around that simply by going to the P&Z and then to the council with a... You know, showing what you want to do, we'll look at it, and we'll make a recommendation to the council on that. And so I don't think there's any ambiguity in terms of the building inspector's responsibility.
George.
I got a question to ask you. I ain't going to say you stand in front of
me. Just stand up. I mean,
do I have to?
No. Let Nancy know your address.
Right
101 K Avenue and 118 North Fort Pierce Boulevard.
Thank you.
What kind of lights you saying I can't put up there? I got floodlights at the burger place. Okay. Now I got a set of floodlights that'll shine on the sign, the side of it. Okay. But I never lit it up. Now at night sometimes I turn the floodlights on. Now the floodlights will light up everything around me.
This doesn't address that. That could be defined as a security light, possibly.
All right. What about the sidewalk light in front of my business? And what about if I want to put lights down the side to light up? And plus, I got a street light in the back for security and everything else.
I don't have the language in front of me, but I believe that the language here has to do with the outline of the building. You know,
so in other words, you tell me I can't do a roof light around the burger place once it was already there, that I took the lights down. I can't run the lights around the diner.
Right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is designed to eliminate the rope lights that are designed.
So in other words, what Jack Michael's guy's got to come down, what Big Daniel's guy's got to come down.
What that means is that, again, we've written this language where if it's something that is already up, they simply come to the P&Z and then the council and say we'd like approval for that sort of thing, and then we look at it.
My best bet is go ahead and put them up so it's already up there.
Well, they still have the approval.
Not what you just said. I go ahead and put them up.
No.
They were there.
No, it...
Why do you want it that away? Why?
Because you can simply drive down and see what some people are doing. When you have this sort of opportunity, you have people essentially putting rope lights or neon lights all around the building and essentially making their whole building into a billboard.
Well, then why? It's the town. The town puts Christmas lights up. They light up everybody.
Yes, this specifically excludes holiday lights. Okay, but again, we try to be as accommodating as possible and simply protect the sort of things that you are seeing rising now with the rope lighting, the LED lighting, the fiber optic lighting that you're seeing right now. You know, Wrightsville Beach has exactly the same concerns in their beach areas. This language is basically directly out of Wrightsville Beach. Other beach communities are doing exactly the same thing. We're just simply taking a very proactive approach, but also allow the opportunity where if somebody does have something, they can simply come to the PNZ and then to the council saying, you know, this is what we have. You know, we'd like approval for this. It's exactly the same language as we would have for somebody who would want to do a exposed neon sign that's artistic. It's the same language that we already have approved for our sign ordinance.
Again, John, do you approve of this?
I didn't like it when we talked about it, and I don't like it now.
Okay.
Is it because it's an enforcement issue or because it's an impact on the property owner's issue?
I don't understand how y'all expect this to go down. Apparently, once you vote on this, I'm going to have to go down to every wrestler, Jack Mackles, at least, and say, town decided we don't really like your lighting scheme. You're going to have to come before planning and zoning to get their approval to let it stay.
You know, another option we talked about that is simply grandfathering the existing stuff out there. You know, I'm not a big fan of grandfathering. I think that's, you know, very dangerous to do that. That's certainly an option too. But, you know, I would certainly strongly recommend that we have an ordinance that prohibits the sort of things that you've seen going up on Carolina Beach Road right now.
I think it's a lot easier to spell out what you don't like than to put an ordinance into effect that says, well, we might be able to let you have this.
Right. Okay. Do y'all want to take this back to and discuss it rather than us vote on it tonight?
Well, if I can say, I mean, we had a 5-0 vote on this. You know, we had exactly this discussion. I know John is concerned about this. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I've been involved in planning for actually close to 30 years. This language I have never in my life ever seen a problem with. This is very standard sort of things. I mean, we have taken an approach that we could write 20 and 30 page ordinances to deal with these sort of things to try to figure out all the nuances. I think that most of the towns that are trying to be accommodating don't want to do that sort of thing, that you want to have an out where people can, you know, if there is an exception to the rules or something like that, or if there's something existing there when you pass an ordinance, there's an opportunity for the PNC and the council to go ahead and approve that, or maybe say, well, why don't you take down this flag or something like that. So it's that type of negotiated, more friendly type of environment. I think that generally works better. That is certainly the attitude that I've seen in the other coastal communities. It's what they have at Wrightsville Beach. We did have this discussion. We try to make things as tight as possible, but we do want to leave an opportunity that, you know, there's always going to be some exceptions to this, and leave an opportunity for, you know, people to come with. One option clearly is to simply grandfather the existing lights that are out there. Again, I think grandfathering is a little bit dangerous. So you could grandfather the existing lights and then have the language that we have in there for any new lights. I mean, that's certainly an opportunity too. But I think that we need to move quickly to proactively to make sure that we don't allow the sort of things that are happening to some extent in Carolina Beach, but certainly down Carolina Beach Road when you start to go into the downtown area. I mean, there are some pretty unattractive type of lighting situations right now, which would be allowed under the current ordinance in Carolina Beach if we don't do something.
Well, so you know, I'm the one that asked you to go back and say, would anybody be in violation or not, right? Because, mm-hmm. kind of as a libertarian, I don't like taking anybody's property. And if someone's doing something and you're outlawing it, which I agree with the building inspector, at least in his perception as the enforcement officer, at least one business doesn't come in compliance, right?
Yes, and it's not a taking. In fact, there's a lot of research to show that as you tighten the value of the properties go up. The value of the properties go up both for neighboring properties as well as the existing properties.
When you tell a person they can't do something on their property they could do before, that's a taking in my mind.
Well, it's not.
I'm fine with that. We're not going to argue over it because you're welcome to get up here in 2 years and then you can do it however you want. But I'm just telling you, in my mind, I get to do it the way I see it. And these other four people can do whatever they want. But in my mind, when you tell someone who has property, who's done stuff with their property, they can't do it. That's why I specifically asked for you guys to go out and look, are there any businesses that are going to not be in compliance? Because to me, and I understand the economic argument, right? I've got an MBA, so I can figure that out. But now I'm doing the governmental side. That's a taking of someone's property, right? They want to do something with it. They want to do something with it, and they can't, right? That's the libertarian
view. I'm sorry. I mean, if you talk about definition, it's defined as not a taking.
Okay, fine. Then I'll call it water. Okay, limiting their property then.
Certainly not a taking.
Okay, you're limiting their property. How's that? Is that better than taking? Limiting their property.
That's what all ordinance and planning does.
Exactly right. And that's why I think they should be approached very cautiously like they are, right? And so the enforcement officer doesn't like this one for a different reason, which is fine. I appreciate his view of it as well. But from my view, you know, I hear, oh, they're going to ruin the town. The town looks better all the time. I've been here for, unfortunately, almost 50 years now because I'm getting old. And it continues to look better. So I understand the concern, but from my standpoint, I'm not interested in making an ordinance that puts out of compliance a business that everyone seems pretty happy with and we're glad that opened last Wednesday. So that's my position.
If I could just say one thing about planning, again, I've dedicated myself to planning. Okay, the whole idea of planning is to be proactive. That's mm-hmm. the whole, that's why it's called planning, is mm-hmm. to be proactive. We're certainly not trying to hurt anything, but it's also trying to correct problems. I don't see any major problems within the town right now, but there's a potential for some serious problems if you don't do something about it. What we're trying to do is develop language that would allow the existing businesses to have an opportunity to get approved without trying to write 20 pages in terms of exact definitions or without grandfathering. Now, I mean, certainly you could grandfather the existing things that are in there, and that's something that we did talk about, those are the options. But I think from a proactive point of view, we desperately need language that would prohibit the sort of things that you do see coming up right now as these string lights and LED lights and fiber optic lights become cheaper and people wrap their whole business. I mean, basically the whole building becomes a billboard. That would not be attractive here. Okay, that would not be attractive here. And, I think we tried desperately in planning and zoning. I've been involved now for about 5 or 6 years in P&Z here. One of the reasons I do think it's become more attractive is we are looking at these ordinances, whether it's sign ordinances, lighting ordinances, things like that, and trying to make it so it does create a very attractive. And that's going to benefit the community. That's what tourists want to come see and live in and people and residents and that sort of thing. We're not trying to exclude. I don't think there's any bad behavior here in this particular situation, but we're trying to prevent potentially bad behavior in the future.
John, do we have anything that prevents gaudy or inappropriate lighting? I mean, you can have all kinds of stuff in lighting if lighting was inappropriate.
The sign ordinance has addressed some of that already, yes.
So you think we have some enforcement already in that sign ordinance?
All I'm saying is I'd just like to talk about it some more, and I'd rather come back next month again. I respect the Craig's willingness. I'll see what he's saying, but I'm not entirely comfortable with it.
Make a motion.
Okay. I'm not a fan of more government generally. As long as we have some ability to do some things here, but I it doesn't sound like we're ready for this.
Right. I make a motion. We send it back. And
with guidance, I hope, because it's been sent back, and we took the guidance that you already gave us, and we came back with 5-0 vote to try to satisfy the requirements.
So mine is it answers any businesses that are out of compliance. So there's not a business after we pass it that is out of compliance with what we write.
The only way to do that is grandfather.
I don't know that that's the only way. I would disagree, but that would be my input. The rest of the council may have other input. My input is we specifically asked to look at that. Maybe I wasn't clear last time because I was confused and getting senile, but for me, and I'm only one vote, so you only got to get three up here, but for me, I'm not going to pass an ordinance that puts a business out of compliance with what they're doing right now, because everyone's happy with where they are right now.
We did what you requested. Just so everybody, we drove around. There was not a single business out of compliance when we drove. Okay. We also recognized, I'll be very honest, that several businesses were closed.
Okay? Yeah, okay.
The businesses that were closed, we know from our experience of driving around the town, probably there would be about 3 or 4 that might be out of compliance here. But when we drove around, there was nothing that was out of compliance.
Okay.
We have a motion.
Craig, how did this come up to the planning board to begin with? What what instigated it?
It was an issue that just driving up Whitefield Beach, or excuse me, Carolina Beach, noticing some of these buildings that were being lit, and then talking to Whitefield Beach as to what they were doing, and they pointed out that they dealt with exactly the same issues. So again, trying to be proactive, trying to prohibit the sort of things that you're seeing perhaps in Carolina Beach right now, but particularly down Carolina Beach Road. Just simply, it's just part of that evolutionary process as the technology of lighting changes, trying to be proactive to eliminate the possibility of these sort of rather gaudy displays taking place in terms of the spring lighting and LED lighting.
We have a motion.
I seem to remember that there was one business, perhaps the convenience store. John, was that ever, didn't they have that string of lights around their window or something?
Carolina Beach has turned into a billboard, as Craig's talking about. I believe that's the probably the business that we're talking about the most and what we're most
billboard
turned into.
Not ours.
He's had some different lights in there that I've asked for him to shut off and stop using, and he has. I don't believe that his windows are outlined just yet. They've got the interior lighting.
Okay. That appeared to be a holiday lighting that's been taken.
Okay. Down. So far they've been very cooperative.
He's got a copy of the sign ordinance.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
We have a motion on the floor to send this back to P&Z with John and your guidance. You'll have a second.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Thanks. Thank you.
Do we have any guidance? I'm not sure.
I want to make sure that all the businesses that are there will not be out of compliance.
So you want us to put a grant law in place? I mean, that's a...
I don't know. So, one, I want the building inspector happy with being able to enforce what we pass. So he had concerns. The same concern, at least for me, is that no businesses are out of compliance with what we pass. If you add grandfather language, I'm fine with that, although I think George is going to go put a bunch of lights up this week to fix that. But I think it will be way better to make sure we understand what the businesses are trying to do and word it properly instead of grandfathering. Because otherwise you're going to get other businesses coming to us with, here's our new lighting plan. And so you can do that a couple of ways, but I think the next time the building inspector should say, yes, I support this. That's what I'm looking for. And that we don't have businesses out of compliance. Is that clear enough?
I mean, we'll take it back and discuss it.
Okay.
Thank you. Anything else? Shoreline Access, Beach Protection, and Parking Committee.
We're proposing to procure these devices to put cigarette butts in all of the beach accesses, the interior beach, those public beach accesses.
Do we have a plan to make them available to the HOA access if they want to have them?
We're going to HOAs and asking them if they would like them. As long as they pay for them. The committee is going to manufacture or make them. We're going to buy the materials and make the device.
You know that the surf riders have already agreed to put at least $500 toward that, and to help you actually construct them and to help you install them.
Yes.
Okay.
My understanding is that they're going to give the money to the town. Okay. To go against their expense.
Okay.
Have you discussed this with Sonny? His men will have to be cleaning them out and all that stuff.
Yeah. Now they have to be in the summertime. They just unscrew the bottom once a week. Is what Carolina Beach does in the summertime. They do it once a month in the wintertime. And there's a little cylinder inside that comes out with cigarette butts, and they just dump.
I guess my guys could figure that out.
It's a little bit of training.
I don't think it's a big issue. And the HOAs would have to take care of their own.
Yeah, okay.
How are you going to place that? If you're going to have them banned into something? Or
we're going to put them on a post.
We're going to put another post at these beach accesses.
Yeah, that's clean. We put a post with a sign in.
How many does that make? Three or four posts per beach access that we have?
No.
Can we not place it on an existing post?
We could try. Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at that before we go put another post, because that's my recommendation.
Okay.
But I like that idea. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they are really good. They work. Carolina Beach says they work really well.
And it looks like if I have like a problem with water or something, I can always still park parts there.
Yeah.
We need a 90 real quick.
I was down on the boardwalk at Carolina Beach. They also put them down on the boardwalk. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they're really, they're cool.
Look good.
Cool design.
So,
what we're asking for here is the materials, the signs, and stickers to manufacture, to make these things come to $2,050. Okay, so mm-hmm. we're asking for the $2,050.
Is that with their money or without their money?
That's without their money.
Okay.
No, I
think and they're going to give it back. $1,700.
Well. Yeah, I mean, if they give you $500, then it's $500.
Okay.
But I can't control that.
Does that include the posts?
Yes.
Okay, so there's an opportunity up to $2,000 because there's an opportunity to maybe eliminate the posts.
Right.
Yeah, in Carolina Beach, don't they have them at the end of their walkways down there at the beach instead of on a separate post?
Right. Well, they've got some on separate posts.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a picture in your packet with them on the separate
on the beach.
Well,
under committee business.
If you can't find an existing post to put them up on, you need to get approval from Sunny before you
put
them
on the ground. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you need to get approval from Sunny anyway.
Well, my cigar's fitting there.
What's that? Yep.
And it can be a mighty big cigar. I'll be going
in.
Right. So you
want
to
do
the same thing? Oh, okay. Well. I mean, you're going to put the
biggest cigar in town.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah, cigarette butts are the worst thing on the beach from a debris standpoint when we do the beach cleanups.
Do we have any committee money left, Arlen, or we need to take this from somewhere else?
No, there's committee money.
Okay. Make a motion to allow up to $2,000 to get 24 butt cans and work with the Public Works Director in placement.
I didn't know I was going to have to put them in.
They'll put them in, work with you so you can say where they get. Thanks, Sonny. It's good having you on my side.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Who seconded that?
Craig. Now your mission statement.
Now, yeah, and we created a new mission.
What's that?
Yes.
We created a new mission statement for the combined committee, and basically it's in three paragraphs. One describes the parks and flat, one describes the beach committee, and the third one talks about signage, okay, which was assigned to this committee. And I know you've got copies of that in your, I think I'm up there. So we're asking for approval of this new mission statement.
Everybody ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the mission statement?
I move we approve the mission statement for the new committee that incorporates SLAP and beach protection.
Second that.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
I shall, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. Stormwater and Environmental Committee, John Gordon.
Yep. I am the chairman of the same committee, and most of you may or may not know we operate under a stormwater permit, and that A, requires our committee, and B, also requires the town to do a lot of education and outreach and things on proper stormwater management and things of that nature. So, with Sonny's permission, the committee is pretty much taking that on, okay, because he obviously has other things to do. So,
y'all are doing a fine job, sir.
Yeah, well, we're trying. In that regard, we wanted to sponsor a talk on rainwater capture. Now, that sounds like a funny subject, but of course, as most of you know, we have an issue with rainwater around here, and that sometimes we have too much of it, and other times we don't have enough. And when we have too much, You know, it puts a strain on the stormwater system. Some people wind up with ponding in their backyards and all that stuff that I'm sure some of you, certainly Sunny, get calls on. So, and then when we don't have enough, a lot of people have invested in pretty expensive landscaping, and with our sandy soil, the water goes right through it, and then these people wind up losing some of their landscaping because it just dries up. So we wanted to, there are ways that you can capture this rainwater. Obviously, we can't put in great big tanks and all that sort of thing and not violate the zoning ordinances, but there are a number of things that can be done on a small scale to thinking rain barrels and things of that, but there may be some other things that can be done, people can use. Obviously, irrigating with city water is getting expensive, and it's also not a good thing, since eventually water is going to become precious even here. So we're going to sponsor a talk by two people on March 17th at 6:30 p.m. in the community center, and those two people are Drew Harrison from the New Hanover Soil and Water Conservation District, and she does she is an expert on rainwater capture and will emphasize small systems, okay, so that people, you know, their 50 to 100 lots and tanks can still do some things. And secondly, right after she gets through, Melanie Doyle from the aquarium is going to talk on some of the things she's done. Now, she's a naturalist down there. Most of you have been down there. She has these very large gardens that she maintains almost exclusively with natural water, and obviously she does some things that we couldn't do because of her size. She has a big structure there, but she uses a lot of drip irrigation, things like that. And she will probably also talk on use of baby plants, which is one of her specialties, because they are easier on the rainwater and they can stand the strain of deer damage and things like that a lot better than some of these exotic species. So this talk by these two ladies, I say, is going to be March 17th at 6:30 in the community center. Should run about an hour and a half, but hopefully we're going to have a lot of people from the community come. That's one reason why we're having it late, rather than the usual meeting time of 4 o'clock. And we really hope that we can get a number of people to come. And we've also been talking with Nancy Hewitt, of course, about publicity. She's already been putting up in the town news and things like that. So if anybody wants to put that on their calendar, if you're interested in using water to sell that in the pond in your backyard, maybe that's something you'd want to come to. So that's all I got. Hopefully not.
Thank you, John.
John, I have a request probably for Nancy Hewitt. I think she's already received one note from me. I'd like, whenever we do the emails, have it in there as often as possible. But most of all, I think it's titled like Stormwater Committee, and I'm sure there probably isn't anybody in this room, let alone in this town, that really wants to just sit through a committee meeting. If you could title it something like rainwater capture or something that would get people's attention so they would want to actually come to hear the two speakers.
Yeah, like free beer or something.
Yeah, free beer. Yes.
We don't
need
to get excited about
that's alcohol. Good. Yeah, capturing free beer. That's a good one. But something that would really get people's attention.
Yeah, I'll come up with something. One thing I did forget to mention, we were hoping to have a rain barrel there for a raffle compliment of Dennis Barber from the hardware store. So maybe we can enter some people in getting a free rain barrel. We do want to educate people on rain barrels. Like, some people think they're some ugly thing that sits back there and you shouldn't even allow them, but that's not the case at all. Some of them are almost works of art. So I think if we can accomplish that, it will be worth it.
Yeah, and if we could include the information about the rain barrel raffle in there, although the committee's been talking about not just collecting names that night, but maybe at one of our first Sunday boogie in the park things, So we'll have a lot of people involved in trying to get that rain barrel. And the other thing I'd like to say to you and Craig and the gentleman back there, Arlen will be notifying the committees about their budget for next year around the first week in March. Would you be notifying them individually or?
Typically, I send out to all committees.
Good chairman.
Okay, do we have a specific form for those committees to fill out or just a request for a budget?
I think I'm trying to remember if last year I sent a form out. If not, I specify exactly what I need.
Okay. So. A form, I think, would be really nice because it seems like every year we get a real conglomeration. And if we just know what your top three or four goals are for the coming year and whether or not there's a cost to any of those goals, like, you know, purchasing more magnets or a brochure or coffee for the talk or anything like that, please let us know. And maybe if we had a form, it would be a, you know, little more congruous there.
Thank you, John. Yes, sir, Mr. Bonar.
One other thing is some of the storm drainage pipes have come loose in the last week or so in the storm, and there's some of them laying on the dunes down by the 21 building at 2100 building at Ocean Dunes, and some down at the rigging. I assume you guys want to get those back and be able to reuse them.
Okay, thanks. Discussion, does anybody want to take a break? Okay. Discussion and consideration of department head business, administration, finance.
Nothing.
Building department, John? Nope. Fire department? We all wish Harold well. Police department?
Just one thing on the police reminder, next Thursday, the 27th of February, we'll have about 250 Marines that are going to come out of the Civil War. This was a reminder of this.
Okay. Public Works Department.
I just have a quick update on the project downtown.
Hello.
Things not in there. We are moving along a little bit behind what the schedule that we originally came up with. We've had a little bit of bad weather, but we're waiting for the poles to be removed. That's about 2 weeks behind. Supposedly next Monday they'll be removed. We've just about finished up the north side. We have a pour to, won't be pour tomorrow, but Thursday. What is tomorrow's Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Thursday we'll finish up that side. Most of our planters have been poured, and we'll start on the south side next week. Hopefully, if we get some pretty days next week, we'll finish that side up and we'll have the paper in the following week, hopefully Monday. So if we get him to finish up in a day, and then he'll probably take a day to strike, we'll be middle of the week after that. So it'll be about 2 or 3 or 4 days behind what we originally said was in March 1. So we're pretty much on schedule. Anybody have any questions?
George.
Sonny, I want to tell the town council, the people here, they are doing a fantastic job. Sonny will tell you, I'm out there every day, I'm looking. Is the street open, the street closed? People are still coming down. So Sonny and the crew, like I said, they're doing a great job. Even Sonny's out there with a shovel. I
don't tell them that. I appreciate that, George.
But seriously, a pat on the back. They are doing a great job. They've done. I ain't got no complaint.
Come next week, we're going to get it done.
He's trying to encourage you. He's a good customer, right? He's a good customer.
Okay, thank you.
Sure that
good, thank you, Sonny. It's starting to look good.
I didn't realize they were down there, but we'll look at them. Who was that?
It's starting to look good. You can see it. You can see it now. It's going to be really nice.
Discussion and consideration of old business, the budget calendar for 14 and 15. Arlen?
Yeah, well, I think presented that last week, or last month, seemed like last week, but
And I guess it was really up to council whether they had any questions on that or any recommended
changes. David has a couple.
Yeah.
Time frame?
Yeah. I'm fine with everything. I would just ask, as one of the working guys, can we start at 8 a.m. on those, the 10th and the 24th?
About 8:30.
I'm just asking, right? And I'm asking council, right? So that helps me actually not load most of the day.
I don't know, Dave. It's three of us are retired.
I know. I know you guys can do whatever, right? I know getting up early is kind of hard.
I mean, nine is for...
So I make if Arlen's okay with it, that's all I'm worried about. Make a motion, we change it to 8 a.m. I know, okay, the staff. Yeah, he looks further away.
Yeah, Arlen doesn't sit here at 8 either.
But seriously, council, all these days are great as far as I'm concerned. It's good to have a long-term schedule too, but if we could move the two required budget workshops to 8 a.m., that would be helpful to me and probably Steve, right?
Yeah.
Y'all don't have to be there at 8. I mean, y'all can just show up when you want to.
No. I don't need donuts. Whatever. I'll bring my oatmeal.
Okay.
So I make a motion we change the April 10th and April 24th at 8 a.m. and pass it as presented.
So I have a second. Okay, we have 2 seconds.
No problem. Everybody's for it.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thanks, Arlen.
Encroachment agreement for the pool at 5010 North Port Fisher Boulevard.
Yeah, at this point, we do not have a revised proposal from the Wadleys or their representatives. So until we have that, there's not much we can do with this. So we'll push it in to keep it in old business until the next meeting or until sometime they bring forth a new plan.
Okay. And you're going to have a...
Have they communicated to any of us?
Yeah.
We heard any...
They came by to John's today, at least Frank did, from Abel.
I had the pool builder come by my office this morning, and he wanted to present an option to me and wanted to know whether or not I would support it. I told him it wasn't up to me, it was up to council. But the option that he presented basically covered the same amount of ground as the first option. It was just a smaller pool and more deck, and he wanted to know what my thoughts were on that. I told him it was completely up to council.
We just wanted to turn
bring,
the last one, right?
Did you bring a plot plan or anything, John?
He brought a rough plot plan.
I mean, did he draw it or is it professionally done?
He drew it.
Okay.
So in other words, they are not ready.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, good enough.
But from that perspective, what we had talked about last time was that was a 40-foot pool and deck.
Right.
They said now they're going to make the pool smaller but still be 40
right.
feet out there. Mm-hmm. The input was that things should not be probably exceed. The pool and the decking together shouldn't take more than a total of 35 feet.
Okay, I understand. Okay.
So that would be some type of information we could give them. Now, it does make it smaller than the last pool, but I think they're a little closer to the dunes.
Okay.
Okay. So we're just going to let...
This, as long as we're working with them, that's fine.
All right. Sandman Drive property, Batson and Beaker. Beaker and Batson. And Blinsky. Blinsky. Three B's.
I believe the direction we received last month was for me to get together with them and talk about which of the plot plans he'd like best for the Sandman property and what the... If there are any issues with the easements that we have on the property and so on and so forth, and I met with Sonny the other day, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he sees no issues with the way the original lot was plotted out, the easements that are drawn on it, and he agrees with me that option B.
B or D?
B.
D, Delta, okay.
It's probably the best option as far as subdividing property.
What is that, D?
Yeah. Is that just because it gives you another property way if you need something down there? I think five lots, they're all five lots. Well, there's one that got six, but you got to have deed easement.
What? There'll be a little cost there, right? We're going to have to put a roadway in.
Yeah, we're valve line.
We got a 20, I think it's roughly 100 foot. Probably wouldn't have to go down 100 foot since... That's the beginning, but roughly between 10,000 and 12,000, I think, something like that, to do that road.
And with that, I think we were also looking to determine if we were going to do some blocking of that other property, and if that was Greenway property or if that was going to be a problem.
John, you had some questions in your meeting about this.
Well, we're just concerned about, you know, the effects of runoff, because originally it was a retention pond, and presumably a lot of the water that now no longer goes into it, since it's not a retention pond, goes to the retention pond down the way, and there's been a lot of discussion about that pond getting pretty filled in and a lot of other things, okay? So I didn't know. I mean, once upon a time, there's a lot of talk about not necessarily making it a retention pond again, but making a rain garden or something that could catch the rainwater and take the stream.
Well, that water that comes off there is beach walk water, and it's their pond, so. John, on this, the way you've got these lots, the guy's got the lots marked, this first lot, 12, is that Barry's house?
No, sir, Barry's house is not on this lot map.
No.
Well, he seems to think that it was...
Now, are you looking at the survey or the other...
Survey.
The survey, yes, that first lot is Barry's house.
Okay, all right. But he seems to think that, yeah, very good.
His is right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should be delineated with his name.
Here's the. If you look at this one, it shows it right here on the big plot plan.
Yeah.
So that's where
he seems to think there's just one lot between him and the easement ditch. But I guess he can
look. Surveyor turned these out for me.
Yeah. Right. And I told him there are two there, but anyway. Okay. All right.
The next step, if y'all wish to proceed with this, for this to go towards planning and zoning.
Okay. Do I have a motion to send it to planning and zoning?
So I move we send option D for the Sandman properties to planning and zoning to take a look at it and come back.
In order to do this, if y'all want me to bring this to planning and zoning, I need approval for some incidental costs that would be associated
for the
with
surveyor.
Yeah. Pull this out. I don't think it would exceed $1,000.
Is that what the $650 is for the surveyor?
That was 2010.
In their letter?
Part of it, we spent some already.
So it'd be about the same?
I don't think it'd be much more.
Does that come out of your budget, or you need money moved from Arlen to do that?
I could probably find something for that, but I'm sure we can cover it for right now, but I might have to come back to you.
Okay, amends your motion.
Okay. I move we have the option D surveyed for a reasonable cost, up to $1,000. Send that back to planning and zoning to have a look at it for approval, and then bring it back, well, not for approval, but for recommendation, and bring it back to council.
Let me throw one thing into this before we vote on it. We do have a drainage situation on the back of that property. Mm-hmm. It's more of a swell going on the back of that property, so maybe that's something we need to take a look at and talk about when we maybe some type of easement there to maintain that swell, or I'm not sure.
It's beach, I mean, that belongs to beach walk, but
yeah, well, the surveyor mentioned that in his letter from the last time that there's an issue there, so I think the surveyor's gonna have to find that out, what's already there. There may be an easement. At least that's what his letter indicated, that different maps show different things, and he's got to sort that out.
Well, I do know that there's a swell back there. And that
right.
Has to be,
yeah. Okay. You want us to amend the motion one more time?
I don't know if that's on the beach.
No, I'll second it. It's on
there. Okay, all right.
When it comes back, we have to ask the question, right? I'll second.
Okay, Chris, I'm sorry. Can you clear that up one more time?
No.
So we're going to do what?
Okay. We're going to take option D and have it surveyed for a cost up to $1,000. And that information will be given to planning and zoning for review. And then they will bring it back to council when that's completed.
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
That was mailed.
What?
Yes.
Okay. Update to resolution to use second 3% of room occupancy tax. I talked to our state representatives today. They're on board with us taking the last 3%, taking at least 1.5% of it and using it for beach sand. They say that the only problem is Susie Hamilton, but she represents Wilmington, so I really don't think she's going to have a say in this. And they are very, you know, strongly in favor of us taking that money. Dan Wilcox and the other mayors met with the TDA folks and let them know what we were doing. They're circling the wagons, so it would probably be a little bit of a fight with them.
How much of this will impact the convention center?
Nothing. They're going to get theirs.
So why did Susie say she was opposed to it?
Because she, I talked to her. She's on a tourist committee, something or another. But yeah, the tourist dollars are important to her because of being in the city. Kevin O'Grady has talked to him. He doesn't want us to take any of the money. But we can go around him. I talked to Senator Rabin. This will go before his committee. And he said that since it goes before his committee, he'd probably like some of us to be there and explain to everybody why we need the money.
And this is just our own marketing money,
right?
Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yes.
It just opens up the town's ability on what to do with that now.
Yeah, no, I just can't
right now
understand
it's defined for marketing.
Susie,
yeah,
opposing it.
That's the city's take on it is they don't want to give any money away, but they have an inflated budget anyway, and I think they can lose that. Dan and I, and with Craig's help, want to put a sunset agreement in this, so it'll probably run for 4 years. It'll give us time to look at the county, make sure we still have the money coming in, it's still increasing TDA funds, and then if it's it's working, we'll review it and renew it. So I would strongly recommend that all of the council people are at the meeting on the, when is it, 27th?
27th,
4
o'clock.
Yeah,
27th of
4 o'clock, yeah, this month.
Oh, this is for our meeting.
Yeah.
Oh, this isn't the one you were talking about. Okay, no. 27th.
So I would recommend y'all be in there if at all possible.
Yeah.
All right. Any other?
So if the mayor's worked out the wording yet?
We're almost
still
there.
Okay.
Riceville Beach, I think they have one person who's kind of questioning whether they want to take a percentage, what percentage. They want to leave part of the money in there.
Well,
you know, so we'll work it out.
Okay.
We'll
yeah, I mean, they should. Okay.
They're discussing it tonight.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay, good.
All right. Thanks. Discussion and consideration of new business. Approval for architectural plans for expansion of the fire and police buildings.
So it really should have been old business, but okay.
What's that?
I was telling Dean it should have been old business.
Media other business knows.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, probably should have been old business. Okay, I wanted to discuss that because we happen to be blessed in this town to have some great department heads who are incredibly good with their budgets, and they are incredibly good in acquiring additional funds. And they have, in fact, come up with the funds to finance the expansion of their own departments. And that is a blessing that few towns have, so we need to recognize their abilities there. When I looked at the plan quickly, and by the way, they're looking to John to give them a building permit, and I said that wouldn't be a wise thing until the council has an opportunity to see how they're going to change the public buildings.
Nancy, did you, where are the plans?
Oh, are you interested?
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Nancy.
I thought you had one there.
No, Nancy would have had to go to town to make copies of them.
No, I have one.
All right, thanks.
So there's actually two segments to the expansion, one expansion for the police department, one expansion for the fire department. Though both are specific and unique to their areas, and there are some shared areas, I thought there could potentially be an opportunity to maybe add additional space to this, and then it might even leave some of Nancy's and administrative issues. So if you take a look at the, okay, here's the expansion. Can you see this?
Yes, I've seen
that. Okay. Here's the expansion for the fire department. Here's the expansion for the police department. One question I had, I don't know, what if we just
Squared it up,
because we wouldn't have to demolish the wall anyway, right?
So there's some savings we would have by just expanding it further, adding another 15 by...
Which wall? There's no wall getting demolished.
Well, okay, well, isn't this an outside wall now?
It is. Yeah. There's an existing door.
Yeah.
They'll add one door, which has the window right now in the fire department. Right. And then the police department, they'll add two doors. But the walls stay the same.
Okay.
Right, so one of the reasons it was designed like this, and so council approved this in the fall, and then it got slowed down for a lot of reasons. One was a requirement for an architect and a bunch of other reasons, but and I'll let Dennis speak for himself. I'm just speaking for the fire department because I'm also on the board of directors, right? So the fire department addition is designed to alleviate the issue of crowding now that we have enough people that we're covering two people every night, right? So we were doing that for a while. And so the chief, talking with the board of directors, wanted to leave the department properly sized for where they are, right? So when we built this 20 years ago, about, John, I don't know exactly when we built it, but about 20 years ago?
Fire departments.
21 years ago. You know, the board of directors had a vision for what the fire department was, and back then there was no, we're going to staff 24 hours a day, right? Mm-hmm. We've since moved past that. And so this design is to fix that by adding an additional bedroom. So right now, they're bunking all together, right?
Yeah.
And while that was fine in the old days, young kids aren't really like that anymore, right? So in the old days, firemen just all bunked in there. But I guess now we try to make it a little nicer. And so that's sort of the fire department's view. I'll let Dennis talk about his view. And the other part is, the fire department historically in town has wanted to pay their way, right? So the community center was built by the fire department, right? Financed by the fire department, then given to the town. The fire department that's back there now was built by the fire department, funded by the fire department, and then turned over to the town. So, and in fact, the fire department has participated in buying all the fire trucks as well, right? So the department has a strong sense of, look, you know, we're going to contribute to the community, and that's one of the ways we do it. We don't have millions of dollars, right? So, I mean, we raise money, and then we spend that money on fire department stuff, but we don't have millions. So we typically, when we want to add on, only want to add what we can afford, right? Yep. And that's sort of the design, right? And so so that's sort of where the fire department's design came from. It's like, what can we afford, and what do we really need, right?
Sure.
And that's why it didn't go all the way to the end. I mean, I think you'd always like more space, right? I think at our planning meeting, we talked about the department heads coming up with 5-year plans and adding, because Nancy said there, she has an issue, and Dennis, long term, we think the corral is going to eventually be something for the town complex, but in the short term, at least on the fire department side, and I'll let Dennis talk for the police department because I'm not that familiar with it. And I'm only familiar with it if Dad was here, he'd be talking, but because I'm on the board of directors, that's kind of where the fire department design came from, right? And so we feel strongly it can be built very efficiently because we use a lot of volunteer labor, right? Mm-hmm. One of the ways we build the building so cheap is volunteer firemen do a lot of the grunt work, right? It gets a lot cheaper if your labor's free, right?
We've got enough of it around here.
Yeah. So Dennis, if you might want to...
Just as a reminder to council members of how the police department that now is currently built, back in 2000 when we broached the subject, because we were in John's office, that was the entire police department. That's where John's office is now, and the chief's office at that time is where Nancy Abel's office is. So we asked for permission to kind of look into expanding our building, and we kind of looked at it, and I think it's time to call after that. I believe that it was tabled at that time. In other words, if I do that consideration, a private contractor by the name of Ernest Batson came on the scene from left field, and he was digging footers like a few weeks. And, correct me if I have any of this history wrong, Dad, you were here, but he basically built the police department out of his pocket.
I think the town ended up contributing somewhere around maybe $60,000, $55,000, $60,000 for certain elements that we had to purchase. But the vast majority of the PD, as it sits over there now, was donated by various contractors, subcontractors, people, air people, plumbers, masons, a lot of local labor here in Curie Beach, from Harold, Steve Woodard, believe it or not, even Dean Lambert donated a little something there to help us. But so that's how it got built. So when someone's building something like that for you, pro bono, you accept things. Our police department is honestly not as secure as it should be, based on the times we're in now. Back in 2001, it was very adequate. But there are some things that need to be changed. One of the things that's really killing us is our property room. And our property room is more or less a property closet. Due to the way the laws are structured, we have to keep things a very long time. And it's, we can get one guy in and one guy out of there now, but you can't get two guys in there at the same time. It's just that full. And so the main crux of this little piece of project is to have a bigger property room. My neighboring apartment up the street, their property room is bigger than this room right here. Okay. My room is about 6 feet wide and about 10 foot deep.
Okay.
So, we're just out of space. As far as the remainder of the conference room and office, actually, I would be taking a smaller office than I have now to make all this work. We have two detectives now, or will have. We're short-handed right this minute, but so we need space for that. And we also need an area to talk to people in somewhat of a private manner. Whereas now, we just have to basically shut our door and not let anyone come in the control room to make that happen. We'll come over here and use the conference room. So that, at best, is a quick Band-Aid fix. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not a long-term solution. It's just kind of a, what can I do quickly to help me? If we look at long-term, and, the only other way we can expand is back this way. Which at one time was going to be considered maybe a new town hall facility. So that was kind of off limits in my thinking. The only way we could go was west. Mm-hmm. And that's all the room I had. It's about 16 feet, I think.
So I would say that I don't dispute the need for either department to expand. My mere question was is that I know you have property room limitations, you have file room limitations, Nancy has file room limitations. The fire department could potentially use more space. So my thought was, is with the committed funds that are there, does it make sense for the town to expand out to that corner, and then we would have a place to put file cabinets to maybe free up some other space in some of the administrative areas we have today, if it makes sense? And that's really just the question.
Expanding the fire department.
Making the fire department.
Making the fire department. Not changing yours, just squaring up the fire department.
Oh, I see.
And so there's, architecturally, there's a problem with how the roof lines go, right?
Roof line.
Yeah, so Dennis's roof line drops this way, so he can go west as long as he wants. The fire department roof line drops the opposite way.
Yeah.
So you end up getting to a lot of cost for that extra space because of what you do on the roof. So the other driver when we looked at it for the fire department one was it minimizes the cost of the roof line.
Okay.
Right?
I think you need to be right here.
Yeah.
And so I'll be glad to walk you out there and show you, right? Because if the board of directors, they're like, look, you know, this extra footage is going to be pretty inexpensive. We would have probably said, yeah, we should go as far as we can, right?
Because
it's all about money utilization to us, right?
Sure.
And I think, you know, one of the things that I think will be good to come out of this, because it didn't, I think one of the reasons we're where we are is because council back in the fall didn't give good guidance to our department heads either, right? So the department heads kind of got a little crossways in my mind about architect or not architect, and we sort of own that, I think, right? Council owns that a little bit, right? And I think the thing that I see coming out of this, I mean, I'm hoping we approve it so we can get moving on it before the season happens, you know, and so John can approve the building permit. But I think more than that, the thing that I think should come out of it is clear guidance from council with the building inspector and you working on it is hear what has to happen for public additions, right? Mm-hmm. And we can share that with all of the other department heads so there's no confusion, right? Because I think there was some confusion between the department heads, and I don't think that's really good. And I think that's a council issue, right? So Nancy had to clear me up a little bit on it today, but fortunately we got a good town clerk that knows how to talk to me when I need to be talked to. But I think, you know, because it, you know, in the fire department's view, the board of directors, the chief, we had council permission, we were moving forward, right? And so I think there's a little bit of heartburn there that, well, you know, we wanted to be doing this in November or December so we'd be done before the season got into it, right? And I think in, you know, in the council's defense, because I'm on council too, so I'm like, hey, okay, well, you know, yeah, we did tell you, but, you know, we also tell the building inspector to do stuff too, and so, you know, you guys can't work it out, then we need to make it clear to everybody, right? So I think a good learning from this whole thing, at least in my mind, is that we need, when we tell department heads to do something, if it's crossing over the department heads, we need to make sure there's good guidance, right? I think Craig was asking the same thing, right? Give us good guidance, right? So maybe that's good, good feedback on multiple issues.
Do you like to make a motion?
I don't know. I want to make sure Craig's comfortable. Well,
I mean, I'm comfortable with it. My only point was is if we had an opportunity to do something larger, if we have a roofline issue, I'm not aware of the roofline issue. Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to have enough slope, and you're going to have to be.
Well, you can do it, right? You can change the roof. You just got to spend more money. I mean, it becomes more expensive. I mean, you can add on roof, but it becomes more expensive. I think the longer term issue we talked about at our initial meeting in January is we still need the department heads to give us their 5-year plan on space needs, right? Because I think Nancy still has an issue, right? This is not fixing her issue.
Well, David,
right?
let me also address that, because for 3 years now, and long before I got on here, we've been talking about expanding town hall. And I had asked when we started doing 5-year plans on capital expenditures 3 years ago to, you know, look at especially expansion with the fire department, because we thought we would need to have another bay. And everybody had said, well, we were going to expand into the corral and this would be turned over to town hall staff. And then it was, no, we have other things to pay for. We'll never be able to do this, so don't even discuss it. Well, I think the time has come where we have to discuss it. And whether it's going to be done started or 2 years from now, or it's going to be done 5 years from now, I think we seriously need to look at what are our plans, what is it going to look like, where is it going to be, and Arlen will tell us what it's going to cost, and start figuring out how much we're going to pay for, how we're going to pay for that, because there are not any grants available to build town halls.
No.
But if we could start doing that with a long-range thing of what the police department really needs 5 to 10 years from now, what the fire department needs, if they're going to need another bay, and they've talked about bays that they can get in and out of. Excuse me, Steve. They were talking about they wanted bays that they could move in and out of the front and the back. That's why we were talking about the property out here, and especially before we turn this into a parking lot. Let's get together and really develop some good 5 to 10 year plans on this.
Well, I think that's excellent. So I would propose we authorize this as it is, and then we put money in the current budget process to have an architectural plan for with inputs from the department heads on what they see they need, right? Because I think even both the chiefs will tell you, you know, 5 or 10 years, this is good for 5 years, but it's not good for 10 years, maybe, right? And I think this fixes both of their current issues, right? And then it allows us to take a longer-term approach without spending any general fund money, because Dennis has confiscated enough drugs and the fire department is raised enough money over time, right? No, we don't sell the drugs. So, I mean, I think we need to do both. And I think Craig highlights a good point. We mentioned it. We need to put money towards a longer term plan, I think, of some type. Time and money, not just money. It's got to be time too, right?
Two things. One, if you approve this, my next phase is to go to the contractor and get a good solid estimate on what it's going to cost. I will tell you now, if that estimate, in my opinion, is further along than what I think it's worth, I probably will not do my piece.
Right.
There's a diminishing, there's a point of diminishing benefit there. If the council is serious, real serious about looking at space analysis and that type of thing, this architect is a guru of that, has done a lot of that for major institutions. I might hand your name to him and see if he'd be entertained taking a look at our needs. But if we're going to do something in the next, you know, 3 to 5 years on a bigger scale, then there may be another way around and hold back. I don't know.
Well, that's just the police part. The fire department feels like we want to. And the good thing is they are breakable, yeah. Right? You can do one without doing the other.
Yeah,
the way
they pretty much have to do something there. And I'm critical at this point too. But it's if I knew in the what was going to happen in the future, I might say, well, I'll deal with it somehow for 2 years or something. But I can't deal with it this way for 5 years. It ain't going to work.
Okay. You want to put a motion?
John, well, first of all, John, are we good? Have you got everything you need if we authorize it to give permits to the two chiefs to get contractor quotes and start working forward?
Yeah, I believe I'm good.
And for the money, is there any money thresholds that they need to stay under to not get afoul of contracting issues? Oh, I think we're pretty okay. The board of directors will not approve anywhere near that for the fire department. How's that? I can't speak for Dennis's part, but him and Arlen probably will not either. Well, then I make a motion that we approve the plans as submitted for the two expansions, and then the department heads to give us feedback whether they're going to actually execute or not. Yes. Paul?
Could you get someone else to make that motion?
Yeah. Sure, since I'm on the fire department. I'm sorry.
I'll make that motion.
Good point, thank you. Can I at least vote on it?
Emily made the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Craig seconded it. All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you.
Thank you.
Inclement weather.
Okay, this will not take long. I tell you that. During this last week, during inclement weather, we had Nancy spend a lot of time trying to reach people up here to determine if it would be wise to send people home. I think we should give Nancy the ability during inclement weather to follow the county plan. If the county says we're sending people home, we should send our people home. She should have the authority to do that. Not on sunny days, but on inclement weather days. So, I mean, I think that eliminates her trying to rush after us. She can really put the attention on the safety of the individuals that assist this town instead of worrying about reaching us to do it.
Well, could I ask David about something? Since you're head of our Emergency Operations Committee, I think it would really be good if she ran it by you to be sure that
the emergency manager has no authority until the council declares a state of emergency. So it would have to be her.
There you go.
Okay.
And if you give her guidance to follow the county, then she's got good guidance. I agree with Craig.
Okay.
So, I mean, the only time the emergency manager has any authority in the town other than recommended training, so I'll have to recommend stuff to you in April, March and April, but is when the council declares a state of emergency.
Okay.
And then the council then, actually, the declaration then appoints an incident commander. It may not be me. There's five on our list, right? So it could be any one of them. It's typically me initially so that the department heads can do their other stuff. But if I'm not available, the council can appoint any of the incident commanders. But I agree with Craig if you want to make a motion.
Any other comment?
No.
That's it.
Well, we have a comment from
Nancy had a comment. She don't want responsibility.
I just,
Thank you, and I agree with that to a point, but this last time trying to get anything out of the county at all, no matter how many times I called the county to find out what they were going to do, was very frustrating. We ended up bringing our staff in, only to find out half an hour later that then they decided to close for the day. We used to have better communication during these types of things with the county, so I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. So if it's reasonable that we can get communication from the county, but if it's in a situation where we're not getting that, and there's obviously ice on the road, and you know that employees live in an area, and you have your Wilmington police advising everybody to stay off the roads, and most of our staff live across the bridge, like maybe a little more flexibility with that too. Fortunately, it doesn't happen. This is one of the third time.
No, second time.
Well, since I've been here since 2006, I mean,
many of us truly think that if somebody calls and says there's a safety issue, we're going to say no, stay.
Yeah. No.
That bridge could be more dangerous than that.
Yeah. So maybe the thing is that we should check with Dennis to see.
If she's trying to call the county, she can call us as well. But yeah. I think I'll talk with you about that, Nancy. So I'll give you a number. You can a secret number. How's that? So that I'll talk to you. I'll give you a cell phone and Warren Lee.
I thought I had the secret number. But
can I have a motion to go into closed session to discuss a personnel matter with the chief?
So moved.
Second.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey.
Thank you.
Oh, Nancy.